somebody had just sent me an email and said that I think the exact wording of the email was, "Rob, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy." He wanted to know what he could do to make himself happy. And it's a perfect timing for it. I mean, there's no better month than Mishneknas Adar, Marvin Bisimcha, right? So it seems to be there. And to be honest with you, I was thinking about maybe not speaking out after Noach had given that tremendous shmooze on Shabbos. I'd have thought that maybe that I'm just adding on to what he's doing, but maybe that's the truth. Maybe the truth is all I'm doing is just being motive. Motive aholic on what Noach really said before. So there's a major difference between Simcha and Holus. And Rav Shor speaks about it quite a bit. Simcha and Holus. What is Holus? Let's define that first. Holus is what a lot of people define as Simcha. They think it's just anything that's fun. A party would be fun. Great America, going on rides would be fun. Like, these types of things would be something that you would consider Holus, which is a type of, I guess you could say, some type of happiness where a person feels a little bit fulfilled with what they're going, but it's very fleeting. It's a little bit of an idea, and it's not exactly there. It's drinking. It's getting involved in, like, where you're smiling and happy and whatever it is, but there's no substance to it. There's no meaning. Nothing lasts. That's the definition of Holus, where nothing stays with you and nothing applies. So what is Simcha? What would be Simcha? Well, let's define. Malchus, Madai, Uparas. The Medians and the Persians were well known for their Holus. The times of Achashverosh defined Holus in a totally different way than anybody had ever heard before. A 180-day party. If that's not overkill, I can't define overkill for you. I don't know how you could have a bigger, greater party. Even the Oscars are only one night. It's not like this takes a total of 180 days. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. It would destroy most economies. Just think about it. Forget about the fact that you're spending this much money on a party where everybody has gold and silver things and beds that they're sleeping on, and all the cups were thrown out right afterward. These are not plastic and paper cups. They're thrown out afterward and then redone. Forget about all that. Who has time to go to a party for 180 days? Who in the world has time in their day to say, you know what? I'm not going to work for the next 180 days. To put that in perspective, 30 day months, 180 divided by 30. I know this is hard. Hold on. Carry the one. We're talking something like, I don't know, 6 months. 6 months where nobody worked. Not a single person worked. And everybody was at this party. Everyone. That's crazy. That is an unbelievably crazy thing. If you want to define Holus, that's what it is. Where they're just sitting and eating and drinking. So Mordecai said to the Jews, don't go. This is not our version of Simcha. Our version of Simcha is not eating and drinking and partying and not doing anything. That's not our version of Simcha. The people said, Vashtiya Kadosh. The shtiyah is kadosh. It's the law. This is the way that drinking should be. We're drinking in the right way. Ain't onase. Nobody's being forced. We'll take care of ourselves. We're fine, Mordecai. Don't worry about it. But Mordecai didn't have the problem that, well, the drinking, you guys are going to get overly drunk. He knew that the Jews wouldn't get drunk. That's not what Jews do. What he was worried about is, we don't stomp party. That's not what we do. That's not how we do these types of things. When the gzera is buckled, and when the Jews were able to destroy Amalek, that's when we party. Because there's a reason, there's a siba. We're thanking God. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us such an opportunity to be able to thank you that we were saved from Amalek. Now we have a reason to party. See, when there's no reason, you're just getting up because why not? Let's just get up and do something. That's not real. That's Holus. Simcha is Simchas Purim, where you're getting up and you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank you for everything you've done, for all that you've done for us, for everything you continue to do for us. That is Simcha. That's true Simcha. That's the definition of what it is. Rabobi Adam. If you look through, this is the only goals that Bnei Yisrael have that a Malik is involved in. There is no other Golus where a Malik is directly involved in the Golus. You think of Golus Mitzrayim, there was no Amalek. Amalek came after Mitzrayim was over. When you talk about Golus Babel, there was no Amalek that we know of. Golus Paras and Madai, we have Amalek. And during Golus Edom, there's no Amalek. You could somehow fit it in. Yavan, there's no Amalek. It's only Paras and Madai. Why here? Why now? Why was it this way that Amalek was involved at this point and not at any other time? says the following. When does Amalek come up? It's a really unbelievable line from Rabboni. After Kriyat Yamsuf, before Matan Torah, they fought us. La'asid Lavo, right before Mashiach comes, Amalek fights us. Before the second base of Mikdash is built, that's when Amalek comes and fights us. Here's the pshat that's Rabboni. Once we're about to hit our level of Shlemos, we're about to get to our full level of Shlemos, right before Matan Torah, right before Mashiach comes, right before we get the second base of Mikdash, at those moments, right when Shlemos is about to hit, that's when Amalek comes in. That's when Amalek tries to fight us and stop us from reaching our total level of, so to speak, potential. Of our complete and utter Shlemos that's there. That's when he comes in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that Ashkacha and he turned it around. He turned it into, by Purim, Kimu v'Kiblu. It's called Yehudim. That the Jews accepted, re-accepted the Torah in such a way that they not only accepted Torah Shebichtav, they also accepted Torah Shebaalpeh. They weren't only doing it stam, they were doing it out of Simcha. They were ready to learn. They wanted to be able to learn Torah. You know what happened right after Golos, right after this whole idea of Purim? Something brand new that had not existed in Klal Yisrael yet. And historically, it's an unbelievable call by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. They made shoals. There was no such thing as a shoal until the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. The concept didn't exist. That's why so many people intermarried during Golos Babel. There was no place for the Jews to gather together. They were gathering together with other nations of the world. And they, I'm sure they somehow converted them in the same reform conversion types of conversions that we have nowadays. There was a conversion of like, yeah, I can only marry a Jew, so we might as well make you Jewish. But it wasn't the same because they weren't hanging out with Jews. So Anshei Knesset Gedolah made shoals. They created tefillah, Shemona Esrei, the three tefillahs a day, with Tehillim, with everything in it. That was made right afterward. And then the you could just say literally the bursting at the seams of Mishnayos, Gemara, the Tanoim started right now, right after Purim. See, I want you to think about this for a second. Four major, in a good way, cataclysmic events. Events that literally shook up the entire world and changed Judaism as we know it. Happened when Amalek was destroyed at the end of Purim. Kimu v'kiblu, the Torah Shebaalpeh was different. We got shoals, Gemara and Mishnayos, and Tefillah. Everything was different. The whole world was different. The whole world changed. Everything was different because of this. Mohammed Amalek. Number two, some would say number three maybe, depends on how you learn the Gemara Megillah, somehow was able to bring us to a level that we were never able to appreciate at Kadosh Baruch before, and we never got to that, more so than any of our Tefillah and our Limud HaTorah. Now, Rabboni takes us on this little ride off the beaten path to be able to teach you something. So again, we're trying to figure out Simcha. We figured out Holos. We got Holos. That's Malchus Paras and Madai. That's what Achashverosh lived for. Achashverosh was the richest man alive. Haman almost became in charge. He was the richest man alive. We got Holos, having a party for no reason whatsoever. We got Simcha. Purim is Simcha for a reason. There has to be a reason behind it. But then we're trying to understand, so what happened with Amalek? This is Gemara Megillah, Yudalim and Aleph. Amar of Yabba Bar Kahana. Gedola Hasoras Tabas Yoser Mimemchet Nevi'im Mizayin Nevi'os Shenis Nabulem Le'Yisrael. You know there's a Yerushalmi that says more than 180. But Rav Abba Bar Kahana says, greater is the removal of the ring from Achashverosh's hands and giving the ring over to Haman than 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that prophesied for the Jews. And the Yerushalmi says 180 Nevi'im. Bit of a machlokas, how many Nevi'im there were considered. From all those Nevi'im that prophesied for the Jews, should everybody stand up. Shekulam lo'ef zirun lahem lamuta. All of them were not able to bring them back to do something good. Bilasor sabasak zirasun lamuta. But the removal of the ring, taking off the ring, was able to make them do tshuva. That's what the Gemara says. The difference is they heard the Nevi'im, but they saw the ring on Haman's finger. When they saw the ring was put on Haman's finger, that he had the ring of Achashverosh, that made them change everything they were doing. They donned sack the afer, sackcloth and ashes, and they understood that this is Midas HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They understood that they had to do tshuva. They were able to fast for 3 days straight. Imagine somebody getting up nowadays and saying every Jew should fast for 3 days straight. You guys got in a morning sitter with a headache. Can you imagine a 3-day fast? A 3-day fast. Did you make it for cholesterol? How many people are you like, but do I have to? I have a sore throat. 3-day fast. And everyone kept it. Every single person. Over Pesach. Over the first and second day of Pesach, they didn't have a Seder that year. Either one of the Seder, because they were outside of Eretz Yisrael. And where did it bring them to? Toward the end. La'ihudim ha'yisrael. Ora. V'simcha. V'sason. V'kor. See, let's try to understand this for a second. They came to the point where they did tshuva so well, by understanding, by seeing literally their death right in their very hands. When they were saved in a miraculous way, and they couldn't understand how it could have happened. How in the world did Esther get into the kingdom? How in the world was Ahasuerus convinced immediately? How in the world did we just win a war against Amalek? They were still able to fight us. It's not like it was us, and Amalek was just tied up on a string. We beat Amalek and no Jews were killed. How did that happen? When that happened, all Bnei Yisrael got up, and they had Ora Zu Torah, Simcha Zu Yomtov, Sason Zu Mila, Yikor Zu Tefillin. They felt different about all their mitzvos. They understood something different about life. That life isn't about just going about and doing what you want and partying and drinking and eating and having pleasure whenever you want to have pleasure. That's not what life is all about. Life is about trying to find simcha, lasting simcha, something that will stay with you. And they understood that you can get that through these processes. By learning Torah, you have the ability of having simcha. You can get simcha within you, and not just get simcha. You can really be misameach. You can be so happy by understanding what you're talking about, by going through something, by explaining it to another person. Yomtiv. What could be greater than Yomtiv? To sit back, relax, know that you don't have to do anything else. To sit and eat and drink and be together with other people with your Divrei Torah and with your singing, with the Oneg, with whatever it is that comes with Yomtiv. That's right there. That includes Shabbos. Mila, bris mila, to be happy when you mutilate an 8-day-old child. To be happy. Because there's no one else who would do such a thing. To sit there and to say to yourself, this is what mila is all about, it's amazing. And tefillin, there's nothing that connects you more than tefillin does. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says that it's a straight conduit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing Kiddushah down, stressing it through your entire body, putting it through, infusing your other arm, not your arm that does mitzvahs. I'm a lefty, I put my tefillin on my right arm, but infusing your other arm with mitzvahs, that you have something there. It's Kiddushah that's standing there. If a person thought about it, that's simcha. Simcha doesn't come from just meaningless words. Simcha doesn't come from the wind ripping through your hair as you're going 140 miles an hour. That's not simcha. That's not simcha. That's holus. That definitely is fun. There's no question that's fun. I don't know if fun is the right word for holus. It's a fleeting pleasure that definitely lasts for those couple seconds, but then it's gone. Then it's gone. There's nothing there. Simcha should be something that stays with you. And if you're not getting that, and I won't tell you that I'm getting it from my tefillin. I can't tell you that. I definitely can't tell you I'm getting it from my bris mila. That I don't know. I don't know how you can fully get that. Then I'm not there yet. But at least for Torah, for Yom Tov, for Shabbos, to be able to gain a simcha that lasts past when you're learning, that lasts past when Shabbos or when Yom Tov ends, that I can tell you that you can get. That's easy enough. To be able to get that simcha that stays with you, that even when you're not learning, when you have to do something else, you still have that simcha of like, do you remember that shot that you came up with? Do you remember that idea that we just learned? That is so easy. So easy. And it's right there for you. It's to make you all warm and fuzzy inside. That's really what it is. To make you feel like there's something there. That's what simcha is. This type of simcha needs some type of achana. You need to remove barriers from you to get there. And on Purim, that's why people will drink. Because when you have those barriers in front of you that are not allowing you to fully feel that simcha, you sometimes have to remove them by taking a little bit of the edge off. So you have a little bit. That doesn't mean enough to be able to make you plaster to the point where you're grabbing stuff and throwing people on the floor, like breaking things inside the house. I don't want anyone going near my fish tanks on Purim. It doesn't mean that way. It means that you're sitting there and you're just removing something, just a little bit. And then all of a sudden, something can flow in. You start realizing, what are we celebrating here? What are we doing?
Why? Why are we here? What are we doing here?
And the answer is, we're celebrating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability not only to live, but have simcha every single day of our lives and feel it. And feel it weekly. Weekly through Shabbos. I guess you could say every 6 months through Yom Tov. And every day through your learning. Every single day and through your tefillin and through your bris milah. Every single day that ability is there. We put costumes on Purim. We're showing how it's all a mask. All of life is just a mask. We're putting on another front to try to act cool, try to act like we don't care, to try to act this way during the rest of the year. But really, on Purim, it all comes off. It all comes off. The masks aren't there. The real me is the one that should be showing. The real me. Don't be embarrassed and don't be afraid of what you have deep down inside. Show it. Show that panemius that you have. Show that you want it. You want it so badly. You want to learn. You want to feel that simcha. You want to really be there. It takes a bit for you to get there. You need a little bit of help. That's what you want. You really want to get there as much as you possibly can. See, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to get kishachruso kisholot. Used to drink mamish until he was as drunk as Lot was when he's together with his daughters. And what would Rabbi Yisrael Salanter do? He would say unbelievable kedushim that no one had ever heard. People would sit there with notebooks, writing down what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say on Purim. They would make sure that they wouldn't get drunk, or they would have gotten drunk before and sobered up by this time. So they'd sit there and write down everything. He had onus throughout Shas to be able to go through. That's the original Purim Torah. Now it's like make fun of a Gemara. Then it was Purim Torah, which was the Torah that came out from your guts. It's what you really held, what you really felt. It's something just, it's real. It's real. It's not just being masked. He's not afraid he's going to say anything bad. He knows that this is his panemius. That's the pshat. Just drink Yosemite Tzorach Limuda. If you're under 21, that means drink enough that's in the legal limit. I have no idea how much that is. I'm sure you can figure it out. No, you can still drink wine. You can have a cup of wine, maybe 2 cups of wine if you're under 21. You can still have that. There's no problem with that. And don't eat anything yet. Have 1 cup or 2 cups of wine. Don't drive anywhere. You get to there. If you're over 21, you have a little bit more. Don't drink liquor. What do you have to drink liquor for? Who have you drunk on wine? You're a liar. You just haven't drunk enough. Okay? You'll be fine. And the point is not, it's different. It's not the point of, let's get drunk until I sit down on the floor and I'm rolling around in my filth and I get up and tomorrow I'm going to be like, oh, it's such a headache. Oh, man. That was such an awesome Purim. That's not awesome Purim. That is a holos Purim. That was a fun Purim where you blacked out for 3.5 hours. That's a holos Purim. Our Purim should be the Simchadika Purim. You can remember what you did. You remember what ended up happening. That if you sit there and you say, I drank enough to the point where I was spewing different Torah and hearing different Torah. That I wanted to hear more and that I sat there and I said, give me more. I want to learn more. Because on Purim, you have the greatest time. You have the most open mind. You're ready for it. I still have notes from Purim that I took in Eretz Yisrael. When I went from one Rebbe to the next Rebbe to the next Rebbe, of all the different Divrei Torah that I heard from every Rebbe, I can barely read it. It's barely legible because I think I wrote it with my right hand instead of my left because I might have forgotten at the time what hand I write with. I have absolutely no idea. But nonetheless, I wrote down everything I possibly could, have it all down. I have about 3.5 pages of just everything. Some of it makes no sense at all. Some of it none at all. But there's parts in there where I'm sitting there and you can see it's there. Because if you really want it, it'll be there. That's simcha. That's simcha. To feel like afterward, I can remember it. I can't remember my first year in Israel when I had Purim. That I can't remember. And I can't even remember if I had a good time or not. That I have absolutely no idea. I know that at some point, some guy was throwing up on me. That's not fun. It's not even fun. That's not there. There is no point where a person will say, yeah, that's a lot of fun. I still remember. He was outside. I was on a bus, sitting down, and I felt like rain. And I thought like, oh my gosh, it's raining on Purim. I can't believe it's raining. Baruch Hashem, it's raining. And then I saw the guy in front of me in the bus window was throwing up out the window and was coming right back in through my window and landing right on me. And I couldn't move to say, stop. Stop. You're throwing up on me. All I could do was like barely sneak out a little. Like, oh, I'm dying. That's all I could do. That's holus. That's what it's like. That's what it should be like. That's holus. Simcha is when you're sitting there and you understand, you're able to pick yourself up and say, that guy is throwing up right there. I'm going to sit here. That's Simcha. Because you get to watch that guy, and now you even get to YouTube that guy. You can videotape that guy, put it up on YouTube, and you can show, like, look what this guy did. That's even better. Now it's even more fun. This is the difference. Holiness means there's nothing that's lasting. Maybe a joke. Maybe something that you can say later on and just be like, that was crazy. Simcha is the meaning behind it. That you actually change from it. You make yourself a different person because of it. That's what you're looking for by these things. Amalek changed us. It turned us into people that could appreciate Simcha. That's what it changed us into. It no longer was anger. It was Simcha. We saw the holiness of Amalek and we turned it into a Simcha Shel Mitzvah. That's what we did. And that's what Purim is all about. So now when you ask, why does Purim even start off with the story of the Feast of Achashverosh? And everybody answers, because Vashti was killed, and that's how Esther became queen. What's the difference that Vashti was killed? Just say that there was a party to make a queen, and that Esther was chosen. Who cares what happened to Vashti? Why do we need to know what happened to Vashti? So they come up with other answers. Because Haman was Memucan at the time, and you saw that he moved up in the system, but it's still unnecessary. The answer is simple. Because their Simcha is Holus. Our Simcha is Purim. That's the beginning of the Megillah, the end of the Megillah. The way we start off and the way we end. It's simple. It's the most precious thing in the world. It's to show us how to party. That's what it is. Not 180 days of drinking. One day of real drinking. That's what it is. See, if we do that correctly, then you're already in the right position. You know what to do. Incorrectly, it's just you're following along in their problems. That's what we need to work on. So we should know. We should be zocha to a tremendous Purim this upcoming year. We've got one more thing to mention about Purim that'll be next week. We should get ready for it. We should be making. We should start the hachanos now. Start our preparations now. It's after Rosh Chodesh already. It's less than 2 weeks to Purim. It's a week from Sunday. It's really Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, all the way through. It's get ourselves ready now for what's going to be. Because it's time. It's time for us to really appreciate and grow and make ourselves b'simcha. Shkayach, everybody.